Completely Conspicuous, episode 456, February 14th, 2017. Welcome back to Completely Conspicuous. I'm your host, Jay Kumar. This week I've got part two of my conversation with guest Matt Fillion as we discuss Hollywood's love of reboots. As always, please send any comments, questions, or Valentine's Day gifts to j.kumar@gmail.com. Also, please check out Completely Conspicuous at compconcast.blogspot.com and on Facebook. And you can follow me on Twitter at KumDog. You can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. And now back to my conversation with Matt Fillion.
I'm looking at things, unnecessary reboots. Ghostbusters last year. I didn't see it.
I haven't seen it
yet. Yeah, so I'm not going to necessarily criticize it. Certainly don't have a problem with it being a female version. You know, like that, half of the internet apparently did.
But. My question with that, and it was you got that much talent, because all four of them are extremely
good. Write them an original movie.
Let them write their own original movie. Kristen Wiig's a hell of a writer. Like, let her write her own supernatural. There's no reason to do a reboot other than to try to feed off the franchise from before. I would have loved to have seen them write their own supernatural.
And the funny thing was, like, Aykroyd's been trying to do a Ghostbusters sequel for years. Murray won't have anything to do with it because he's fucking intelligent.
Well, he's too busy doing his own, like, art house.
Whatever the fuck he wants to do.
Yep. Yeah. He makes an art house film a year, and then he goes and gets drunk with college kids.
Yeah. He drives a golf cart down the main streets of Stockholm, you know?
Yeah.
Just for the fuck of it.
Like, why would he make another movie that
doesn't have
him to work that hard? Yeah. It was funny. The controversy and the complaints about that were so over the top, though.
Yeah, it's stupid.
It's funny because you almost want to be like, this is not the hill to die on for the remake thing. Like, there's so many other remakes to be upset about. And it's funny with stuff like Westworld, where it was so impactful that you forgot that it was based on something else too.
I mean, they were kind of smart because the source material came out so long ago.
Yeah.
That, you know, 90% of the people watching it now never saw those movies.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't really have the reference point.
You
know, it's not like going, oh, we have all these fond memories of Westworld.
Yeah, that was...
It's like, oh, yeah, I remember hearing about this thing with Yul Brynner as a robot. Like, and that's only if you're old or like me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I bet, you know, the vast majority of people who watch that show never watch the movies.
My only real knowledge about Westworld as a film, I never saw it.
No, but neither. Michael Crichton's first.
He
movie,
wrote and directed
right?
it.
Yeah.
But I only knew about it because if you're ever looking for a really great memoir to read, his memoir, the first half of it is him learning to be a doctor, which is where ER came from.
Right.
And the second half of it is him like finding his place in the world, like going to spoon benders and stuff like that. But he has a chapter on when they just handed him a bunch of money to make Westworld, and he doesn't know what he's doing. And he almost gets a guy killed, like somebody set their hair on fire on a train, like during a stunt. And it's just, and that's all I know. All I know about it is it's a really self-effacing book of how he didn't know what he was doing. Nobody should have ever given him that money to make that movie, but it somehow became, you know, at least
it's amazing, like how many things he did, like
what he had his hands in as far as like the creation and stuff for the short. And he did not live a long
right,
life.
Right, he died.
He died in his mid-60s.
Right, yeah.
But he had his hands in everything.
Yeah.
I mean, Noah Wiley's character is basically him from his
memories.
Like, that's his, that's the course he took as a doctor, even though he graduated, I think it was Harvard Medical School, and he just never practiced. He went right out and just wrote books. It'd be funny if you could write books to pay for medical school. It's not really working for me.
Or anything. Right? Oh, they're making another Splash.
They're flipping the genders, right?
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. Channing Tatum and Jillian Bell.
That's going to be... because
Channing Tatum's going to be the mermaid?
Yeah. Which will be... I think that'll be funny, because he's a better comedian than he is an action hero. I think he's...
He was funny in Hail Caesar, his little role that he had. Mm. Ghostbusters.
Well, we got the...
War Games.
They're remaking War Games.
Supposedly.
Although, you know, if you're talking about, like, in modernization, that could actually be terrifying right now, because we basically are playing War Games,
right? Did you
know
there was a sequel?
I did.
2008, War Games, The Dead Code? Who the hell was in that?
Recent. Well, I thought there was one in the actual 80s.
I don't think so. Yeah, we're living in War Games now. Evil Dead. Yeah.
Well, Evil Dead. So they remake Evil Dead as the film with the female lead, right? And now we've got Ash versus the Evil Dead, the TV show, yeah. Which I have not seen.
I want to see that. It looks pretty good. But Raimi's involved with it, so.
Yep, and Bruce Campbell,
of course, who's awesome.
What was the remake that?
Jumanji.
That.
Of course, The Rock's in it because he's in everything.
Apparently, The Rock is just going to be in. Although he's playing, is he playing Shazam or is he playing Black Adam in the DC universe? Have you heard about this?
Oh no, I didn't.
If he's playing Black Adam, that'll be awesome. If he's playing Shazam, it's going to be a comedy. So, Red Dawn.
That came out a few years ago.
That was ahead of its time.
Yeah,
Red Dawn would be very appropriate right now.
Right? Yeah. Jesus. Well, the bad guys in that movie were North Korea.
North Korea isn't going to get to... They picked the wrong country. It's going to actually be... to do it like the Americans, you know?
Yeah, but they're going to be welcomed in.
Yeah. They'll come in with a...
On a Trump jet. Academy. They're doing Police Academy. Oh, man.
See, why not just make a cop comedy?
With Key and Peele. And those guys are funny. RoboCop, yeah.
The RoboCop one was terrible.
Was it?
Yeah.
Flatliners, oh man.
I would love to see the numbers of how many films per what percentage of films per year is a
remake. Well, like, do you remember Will Ferrell did Bewitched?
You know, I blocked it out
with Nicole Kidman. I mean, it's just like, there's so many, it's ridiculous. I will say, you know, we're talking about how the Marvel movies have been really good, and DC movies haven't. DC TV shows are really good.
You know,
like we've been watching The Flash. We just watched the first season of, was it the first season? Yeah.
I dig The Flash.
Yeah, I like it a lot. And I'll tell you, really
I got suckered into the first couple seasons of Arrow. And it was funny, because I got suckered
in. We just started Arrow.
I got suckered in by two grown men. I'm like, I can't watch. I'm not going to watch the Arrow. I'm not going to watch Arrow because it's on the CW and there's an age limit for that. It's like ecstasy. You can, you know, you must.
It's actually very adult.
And
we're watching it, and the kids are like, "Where's all the fun stuff?" I'm like, "It's a little dark."
It's a little, and then, but there was two decent seasons of it, and then we got Betrayed. It turned into like a soap opera.
Oh, really? Well, see, like, we're only in season one.
Yeah, if you watch the first couple seasons, they're worthwhile, and then it turns into a soap opera. But
because it's funny, because you know, they cross over on The Flash.
Yep.
And by the time they get to The Flash, it seems much more like lighthearted.
Yeah. Well,
The Flash's characters seem like it. I'm in, like, you know, episode 3 or 4.
And he's still shooting people in the throat with arrows.
Yeah, he's like, you know, he's got the dark backstory and he's got the list and everything. And I'm like, fuck, man.
So, like, my comic book nerd.
My daughter's
self,
like, where's Felicity?
Yeah, well, the comic book nerd side of me is like. Arrow in the comics was like the guy that liked being a superhero. He was like
Iron Man.
Yeah, he was totally Iron Man, right? He's basically Tony Stark with arrows. He was just a fun, like, playful, like.
Whereas Hawkeye was kind of like that too. He was basically a Green Arrow ripoff.
Yeah, well, they're all ripoffs of each other. Yeah. Although, they blew it. The one thing that Marvel blew with Hawkeye is carrying the joyless, you cast the joyless Jeremy Renner in there. And it's not their fault. This comic came out after the movies were out. But they basically, Matt Fraction wrote series about Hawkeye's day-to-day life, like when he's at home with his dog. And it's easily the best 24 comics I've ever read in, like, in the superhero genre. It's just him being a dude. And it's him with the, like, the sidekick, like the younger girl, Hawkeye, and it's two colossal fuck-ups on their days off from being superheroes. And it's, that should be a Netflix show. It would be, they could just transcribe the comic as a Netflix show, and it would be award-winning.
What are your thoughts on Deadpool?
So, you know, I have a personal vendetta against Deadpool because of my experience at Comic-Cons with the books, because I have to deal with Deadpool fans all the time. I had a revelation with Deadpool the other day. Because for years I can't stand the character because I run into all these schmucks in their costumes. But one of the writers that turned him into a character, not the one that created him, but one of the writers later on, said he's the sad clown who's in so much pain all the time that his life has to be a dick joke, otherwise he goes insane. I'm like, you know, that makes a lot more sense. And I laughed my ass off at that movie. Yeah. I laughed so hard.
I saw it like 2-3 months ago.
It's so inappropriate.
Oh my god, yeah.
Some of my neighbors have a giant projection screen, not projection screen, they have the projector where it's on the wall. Mm. And we can see what they're watching from the backyard. And I'm like, oh hey, they're watching Deadpool. I bet you he and his wife are watching Deadpool. And we're talking to him like 3 weeks later. He's like, yeah, I had no idea. I was watching it with my daughters. They're like 12 and 14.
Well, yeah, like my daughter's 14, and she hadn't seen it, but like, well, she saw, I think so. Like, she was at her friends, and like, and I guess they watched it. I'm like, wait a minute, you guys were watching Deadpool? Like, this movie's freaking filthy. The fuck? I mean, it is filthy. I mean, it's hilarious. So I'm like,
yeah, but it's not something you want your 14-year-old watching. The baby,
Jesus Christ! Oh my god.
Actually, the whole opening montage is just right there. Like, I mean, hands over the eyes.
Reynolds is hilarious. Yeah. Man. I mean, and like, he kind of came up as a comic actor.
He's another one. Because
he was in that, like, what, Two Pizzas and a Girl. Remember that fucking show? With
Nathan Fillion and...
With Tia Leone when she... No, it wasn't Tia Leone. It was some other chick. Wait, I remember Nomar made a guest appearance on that or something, but... two guys, a girl, and a pizza place. Or something like that. But yeah, he was on that show.
Well, it's funny, pretty sure he was. He's one of those ones who, similar to Channing Tatum, who once they let him be funny, he's a lot better.
But he's always, he's doing like, because he was doing, because he did what? He did Green Arrow, right?
No, he did Green Lantern.
Green Lantern, sorry. He did Green Lantern.
He did Blade.
Yeah, did he do, oh, he was in Blade?
He was in Blade.
What was the other, he was in another superhero thing too.
I can't remember.
Wasn't he? Other than Deadpool?
He's been at least two. He was definitely in...
I mean, I love the fact that they had Colossus in just Deadpool. Hanging out. Just like, no, 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 this is wrong. You forgot to kill people. You're a hero. That guy's awesome.
The acknowledgement that they only had so much money to get that. You know, like, why do we only have one X-Man showing up? Did you guys run out of money? Although, they're casting for the sequel. They think it's Pierce Brosnan's going to play Cable.
Oh yeah,
which is some deep dive nerd crap right there. That's not.
I like Pierce Brosnan.
He's always fun to watch. Yeah, you know? He's been in a lot of like just drunk spy at the end of their career type movies, like what James Bond would have turned into if he had been allowed to retire.
Well, it also kind of makes me think of Timothy Dalton in Hot Fuzz. Is that the one he was in?
And yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it was Hot Fuzz, right? Yeah, it was the one where Simon Pegg's a cop.
Yep.
And he plays like kind of, he's like that evil shop owner dude or whatever.
Have you seen,
but he's great at it.
Well, here's,
which is like, you always think of him as just like, yeah, like, that was like the lame-o James Bond, but he's been pretty good in some of this.
You know what he's really good in, speaking of how to not do a reboot, but do it well, is Penny Dreadful.
Okay.
Because it's,
oh right, yeah.
It's Dracula and, the werewolf and, Frankenstein. And it's just the mashup of all these stories that we've seen a million times, but it's told in a really new, unique way. And he plays the father of one of Dracula's victims. Mm. And he's great in it. The whole cast, it's actually phenomenal. We're working our way through the third season now, where they kind of, I think it was, it ended at season three, and it had three seasons in it, and it was ready to go. Well, but
my daughters have been watching, was it Once Upon a Time, the ABC show? It's kind of like all the, it's like the Disney princesses, but like, you know, more of a hard-edged look at it.
You know what's funny is that that came out, right? That came out right around the time that Bill Willingham's Fables was being done.
Yeah.
And Fables was a better, like...
Like at the same time.
Twisted,
yeah.
Twisted fairy tale story. Like, I that hit...
was that
Once Upon a
Fox?
Time?
Fox?
Fables never got made into TV.
Oh, it didn't? Oh, okay. There's another show, though, that's kind of like that. Like a TV show.
Which one was it? Well, it had a couple spin-offs, too.
Because, like, Once Upon a Time was on ABC, but there was another show
which
that was kind of...
The funny... What... It being on ABC and the fact that Disney owns ABC is kind of hilarious. Like, of course they're making all the Disney princesses in a TV show because they're, you know.
I mean, it's smart, though. Like,
it's brilliant. Yeah. It's not a dumb move, but.
Yeah. Because who's it? The dude from Trainspotting's in it.
Which one? I only saw the first season of Once Upon a Time.
It's the guy.
Many damn characters by now. I can't get into it.
The hell, he's been in a lot of movies. I'll have to look it up because it's like Robert, not Forsythe, but
if I can look it up. But that was, I mean, mashups are kind of fun because there's something different. They take something that exists and twist it. Like whether you like Once Upon a Time or not, it's at least doing something different with those characters instead of just doing we're rebooting Beauty and the Beast.
Well, there you go. That's coming out. Yeah, that's coming out like soon, right?
I keep forgetting that exists. It's like I think I'm the wrong demographic.
My daughter's gonna go see that, but
yeah, which means you'll go see it, right? Or are they gonna go
without you? Oh, Robert Carlyle, Begbie, and
oh, that's right. The he's been in tons of stuff.
Yeah, but he's in that. He's on that show as some fucking character. I've only seen a couple of episodes.
Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah.
Although, you know what his greatest performance is? The Johnny Walker commercial?
Yeah.
Did you ever see that? That one take? That is a filmmaker. Watching an actor do a monologue walking down, like, the moors of the Scottish moors with, like, the people handing him props and stuff. Like, that, I could watch that all day.
Did you see the, you know what are pretty, like, insane commercials are? The Heineken commercials with, Benicio del Toro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just, like, nuts.
Speaking of reboots, they rebooted The Most Interesting Man in the World. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah.
They got rid of the old guy?
Yeah, that was a couple years ago where they kind of.
I saw the new guy, and I'm like, did they ages him out? Like,
speaking of reboots and commercials, how about the Kentucky Fried Chicken? Like, they've been doing, like...
What's going on there?
They got, like, a different... They got all these comedians, so, like, they had, like, Norm MacDonald and Rob Riggle and like
they're doing I don't
Jim
know
Gaffigan and then like in the Super Bowl commercial, which was like terrible, but like they had Billy Zane, which you couldn't tell because he was covered in gold, like playing this gold Colonel Sanders.
Talk about guys that let their career go off the rails. I would see so
he's in a lot of like weird things you wouldn't think he was in.
We're talking what's his, Wesley Snipes said something relatively astute on Twitter the other
day. Right, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, hey, look, Wesley Snipes seems relatively sane. And a friend of mine who's, well, it was like, you know, do we really know whether, you know, like, he got blacklisted because of the IRS stuff? I'm like, no, here's the thing.
Always bet on black.
But anybody who just drops off, anybody who's making that much money in Hollywood who just drops off, either has a phenomenal drug problem, or they're such a pain in the ass that they make working on the Blade 3. Ryan Reynolds talks about how they had to shoot whole scenes where Wesley Snipes wouldn't come out of his trailer.
Right.
And if you fuck up an entire film shoot like that,
you know he's
going to
run over
you.
Yeah.
And I kind of wonder if Billy Zane turned into somebody because he just disappeared. Or was it because he went bald? I don't know. Like, something happened to his career where he went. He just dropped off because he was supposed to be like the next something.
Dashing.
You know?
Yeah.
He was supposed to be the next big heartthrob.
Yeah.
It might just be that his hair fell out, in which case that's just not fair.
Yeah, but I mean, there's lots of dudes with shaved heads doing shit, right? I mean, Statham and Bruce Willis.
Statham's running around with the Victoria's Secret supermodel and all that other stuff. But
did you see the commercial for the new Fast and Furious movie. It looks so fucking retarded.
You know what? I need to go back. Let's give them credit.
I mean, yeah, those movies make shit. Who is it? One of my daughters is like, you're still making those? I'm like, yeah, they make money.
They make a ton of money.
They're dumb as fuck, but they make
legitimately money. Multicultural.
Hmm?
Like, they are
We were talking about this.
Yeah, they are multicultural in a way that other films aren't. Everybody's on the same footing, no matter what color, what background they come from, which I get, you gotta give them credit for. And they're not remakes.
Right.
They're original films. That is an original franchise. And they're just
insane. Like, the cars driving out of hotels into other hotels.
They treat cars the way that Marvel treats Captain America's shield. You know, like, right. Spider-Man line. Like, you know that thing ignores the laws of physics, right? Like, that's every car.
Yeah, like, do you see the commercial? Like, they were, like, in the Arctic or something? Yeah, like, it was like, not, what the frick is this?
But they... I gotta give them credit where credit's due. They make fun movies that are multicultural.
You got Vin Diesel
and you got
The Rock. The Rock's in it, shockingly.
Although there's a guy who knew how to work his career. He knows where his wheelhouse is and he hits it.
No, you know what? His SNL that he did a couple years ago.
He's
was
funny.
One of the best ones. He's played. Did you see that? It was Obama as the Hulk. So like. They had, like, Jay Farrow as Obama, and then he gets all pissed off, and then he turns into The Rock, like, you know, as Obama. It was terrific. I mean...
The best photo I saw this week was the picture of Obama walking around with his hat on backwards, and the comment was, he's not coming back, guys. His hat's on backwards. He's not coming back. He's left us. He's done. He's peacing out. He's got... The hat is backwards, guys.
Oh, the kidneys just gonna do speeches and make shitloads of money.
Did you ever see him with Sean William Scott in The Rundown?
Oh, I know the movie, yeah.
That is a riot. It's the show... It's established dominance when they're swinging from the trees with the baboon trying to eat. It is
He's a funny guy. Like,
he's probably going to be pretty good.
The new what?
The new Jumanji movie might actually be kind of funny. Not that I have any interest in seeing
Or Baywatch, movie. I guess. But, I mean, the guy's got personality. He can act. I mean, he's not...
You know, the funny thing about that Baywatch movie is the kid, what's his name? Zac Efron is actually a really good comedian, too.
Yeah, he's good and stuff. Like, I haven't seen those, the movies with Zac, with Seth Rogen.
But, I can't handle the Seth Rogen style movies anymore. Maybe when I'm older.
I really like Pineapple Express. Like, I liked a lot. I'm a big Freaks and Geeks guy, so I've been a fan of his for a while. But...
I'm thinking more or less, because Pineapple Express was a different concept. I mean, the whole middle-aged, the uncomfortable middle-aged couple.
Like, This Is 40.
This Is 40. Like, I was blanking on the title. Like, that. Those movies just do nothing for me now. I think maybe because I'm 39.
Even knocked tired. Up, I guess. But,
and Pineapple Express was essentially like a screwball noir, right?
Yeah,
like that's
an excellent movie.
You ever see Brick?
Yeah, like, yeah. That's a great movie.
Anything that twists the noir concept actually is
that's where first started. I mean, not really. Because Joseph Gordon-Levitt was in Third Rock.
Yeah,
the Sun,
that was where he.
But then you're like, holy shit! Yeah, into something. No, that's a really good movie.
Yeah, that was, and he was. Is that that's Rian Johnson?
Yeah,
right?
Who did?
He's doing the new Star Wars movie.
Yeah,
which is.
Looper's a great movie, too.
Looper's a great movie.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing with somebody like a Rian Johnson or something like that is those guys used to be auteurs who would make these great, new, unique movies, and now it's like you make a couple of decent indie films, and here's a Star Wars film.
Yeah, or here's a Spider-Man movie.
The director of Rogue One, Gareth Edwards, his feature film debut is one of the best horror movies
I've ever
seen.
Oh, is that Attack the Block?
No, Monsters.
Oh, okay.
You ever watch? It's an alien invasion movie, but it's a mood piece, and it's actually legitimately beautiful. Like as a film, like it's just it's moody and it's elegant and the music. And he shot it for $60,000. He did the editing and music himself. There's stuff where he as the director is the one hanging out of the train, just holding the camera to get a B-roll. It's on Netflix. It's the best 88 minutes I can recommend for a sci-fi film.
Nice.
But that's the thing. He went from doing... He should be making all of these awesome, original films. And I tell you, I loved Rogue One. And I even think... I don't think his Godzilla movie was terrible. He did the Godzilla movie.
Is that the Bryan Cranston one? Yeah.
But why is he not making... Why is he not making... Because the money's there. Like, why is he not giving the opportunity
to make
good
movies? Good
movies. Yeah, or making...
Small movies.
You almost wish they could do one and one. Like, okay, you do Rogue One.
Some guys do, right?
Yeah.
I mean...
you wish there was more opportunity for these filmmakers to do
yeah.
their own stuff in between, as opposed to always trying to chase the next.
Like, make, you know, I mean, it's like some actors do, they'll make a, you know, big blockbuster or franchise movie, and then they'll do like a couple of indie things. On the side.
Actors at least have
it's easier for them to do it. Yeah.
Actually, a friend of mine's nephew just worked with Kristen Stewart on her film directorial debut.
Mm-hmm.
But she's got the thing down where she'll make a pop movie, make a bunch of Twilight movie, and then, or she did that Snow White movie or something like that. You make some money, you go do an independent film.
You know what's a great movie is Adventureland. You ever see that?
Yeah, that's a great.
That's
little
a
film.
Fun little movie.
And is it? Do people not watch them in the movie theaters? Like, why don't we get these anymore? I mean, they're out there because the Academy Awards.
I mean, I feel like people make them, it's just they don't get seen.
Yeah,
like that movie was just, you know, that was terrific. Like, you know, I think Juno was getting a lot of attention around that time, but like that movie was like,
was that really the same time?
Like a year, maybe. Maybe
oh, you know, I'm thinking of Juno would have been around. I keep what was the girl from Juno? Her debut film. Help me out. You know who I'm talking about? The dark-haired girl that played Juno in Juno.
Yeah.
She was in a film about, essentially about statutory rape.
Oh.
And it was like a revenge.
Ellen Page. Yeah, I know. Hard Candy.
Hard Candy. That's the one. Like, that was...
That was like a...
That was brutal.
Rough movie, right?
Yeah.
But like, Juno, like... definitely got dated quick. Like, it just got old. Like, the like, you know, the it's kind of hacky, you know, writing. And,
well, it's funny because she was pretty, it was hacky. But the,
but Adventureland was just so fucking good.
It's funny what becomes dated versus what becomes vintage. Like, I'm thinking of, we're going to go see Rent in April when it's in Boston. And we're that age, you know, we saw it as, I'm a little concerned.
Are you going to enjoy it as much as you did?
I think I will have a nostalgia kick, but I don't know how I'm gonna. Has enough time passed that it's vintage now, and nostalgia, or has just enough time not passed that I'm gonna feel awkward about how big a doofus I was in the '90s? You know what I mean?
Well, and then there's things that just, you know, what was awesome in 1997. In 2017, just seems doesn't hold up.
Film is just like music. Some stuff doesn't hold up. Yeah. Some stuff is great at the time, and you never want to hear it again. And stuff, some stuff becomes immortal.
Right.
I mean, that happened.
Case in point: the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Big fan of 1992. Can't stand them now. Can't stand them.
Funny.
They keep going.
Talking about like random things, we had a generational moment at Market Basket the other day. It was Neil Finn was on. It was Romeo in Black Jeans.
No, that was Penn.
Was that Penn? I thought it was
Chris, no, not Chris Penn. It's his brother. The fuck his name. Jesus. He's married to Amy Mann. Yeah, Michael Penn.
Michael Penn. Well, that was
it's a great song.
I'm like walking around. I'm like humming along. He's walking through the aisles. Steph had never heard it before. I'm like, you've never heard that? This is. I'm gonna call him on my phone for the drive.
It came out
home.
Like '89. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Actually, maybe even earlier than that. I think he was on SNL doing that. Like, we didn't even have a record contract.
But I mean, okay. What would you be okay with getting rebooted from your youth that hasn't been? Because
what movie or a TV show? Or?
I mean, we had a Miami Vice reboot.
I didn't see that actually. I was thinking of that.
I've heard actually that it's
because Michael Mann made it, right?
I heard if you don't look at it as a
no wait, Michael Mann made the original.
Yeah,
did he make the movie too?
He made the new one. Yeah. I've heard that
Colin
if you don't,
Farrell and Jamie. Fox,
yep. What I've heard is if you don't think of it as a reboot, and you just look at it as a straight like Narcos type of film.
Wait, so
like,
what wouldn't I have a problem with?
Like what would you be like? Yeah, that's due.
I think it'd have to be something like that isn't like canon, like, you know, like if somebody tries to redo like Blazing Saddles, you know what I mean? No, but
it's funny because there is that dividing line. Like I
like you see like people make like they're going to redo Chips because Dukes of Hazzard,
right?
They're picking things that like aren't necessarily. Well, although Dukes of Hazzard was a total fucking
well, and this funny. I know. Well, it's funny because there's things like things that deserve a reboot versus things that deserve a continuation. Like, nobody can... people will die if they reboot Star Wars, but you do a continuation of it.
Right.
And people will at least listen to you.
Well, yeah, because if somebody tried to say, all right, we're starting over, that would fly.
Like they're doing the young Han Solo movie.
Right.
I am not... I am physically uncomfortable with this concept.
Well, is it like young Indiana Jones? Remember that TV show?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, like you know what? I'm okay. You can make all sorts of
movies. Well, that's kind of the whole... But... That's a whole genre. I mean, Muppet Babies. I mean, remember where they just take the original thing and they make them kids. They had the Flintstones. Remember that? They had a Flintstones series where they were all fucking teenagers.
That's funny because we're what, 10 years apart?
Yeah.
Muppet Babies was... I was still young enough to have watched the cartoons.
See, I was old enough to see that and go, that's fucking stupid.
See, and I am just young enough that my sister and I used to watch that religiously. Like, we were just little enough at the time that we were the right age range for it. But, you know what we keep joking around is due for a remake? Dino Riders.
Dino Riders? I never saw that. Jesus.
Yeah, it's one of those ones. We were talking about what 80s cartoons, because they're doing all the 80s cartoons, right?
Yeah.
Like, the 80s cartoons are just ripe for the picking.
He-Man.
Although, there is a He-Man. There's a Master of the Universe film coming out at some point.
Yeah. Well, there was one before, though, wasn't there?
Oh, there was the horrible one with Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
But that was actually, like, that was...
Dolph Lundgren was in all the bad remakes. Punisher.
Yeah.
Although, I guess that wasn't technically a remake, but, I mean, it was a rebooted character.
That's another one that where they were on the schedule, because the Punisher got rebooted, like, six times because...
The dude from Rome.
Which was actually a pretty good one.
Was it?
And I like Thomas Jane, but I didn't like the Thomas Jane one.
I mean, I think the guy from Walking Dead's been pretty good on Daredevil.
It's funny, because I've never liked Punisher as a character, and I really liked the...
Because they made him a little more human. I mean, even the comic book makes him just, like, this remorseless killing machine. And, like, you know, it's amazing, because, like, even in the 80s, you know, when Miller was doing them, people were just, like... that caught on. People love that, you know, t-shirts and merch.
Well,
and shit.
What's funny is like
it's a cool logo too. But
until the Netflix version, I used to be able to tell a lot about somebody like Punisher. You know, like there's certain characters like, oh, you're a Punisher fan, huh?
You're amoral.
You have... I don't think you and I probably agree politically on a lot of things, but what I really liked was the scene in the graveyard.
Yeah.
Where he, and some of the stuff that he has with Karen humanizes that character in a way that nobody who has ever written him before humanized him. You know what actually I couldn't get over is... Do you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at all?
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen it. I saw a bunch of them a couple of years ago. I haven't been caught up.
So. The current season is like a totally different show. The writing... Good? It's like, yeah. It was one of those ones where I was ready to give up. I was like, God, I hope they cancel. Because I have to, you know, I live blog for the books and stuff like that. And I'm like, God, they got to cancel this goddamn show because it's not good. And I'm watching it professionally, and I don't want to watch it anymore. And I would really appreciate it if they would cancel it so I could get my 9 o'clock slot back on Tuesday nights. And then this year rolls around, and they've got Ghost Rider. I'm like, this is a kiss of death.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be terrible. And I actually...
Another Nicolas Cage character?
Yeah, that bombed.
Yeah, but he made like two of them, right?
Yeah.
Maybe three.
Well, they're using a different Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
A newer character, a young Hispanic kid that has the Ghost Rider powers. And I'm watching it going, I'm actually into it. I've hated Punisher, and I've hated Ghost Rider my whole comic book nerd life. And I'm like, well, congratulations, guys. You just made me like two characters I've never liked in my entire life. But, goddamn, the reboot of Punisher, now that I'm thinking about it, the number of times they tried to reroll that character, and they just couldn't get it to stick. It's a pretty easy concept. He's basically, what the hell was his name? Death Wish, right?
Yeah, Charles Bronson.
Yeah, you know,
his family gets wiped
Charlie
out.
Bronson. Yeah, that's all it is. It's
those
just
movies
Death
are
Wish.
Horrible too. So.
The '80s. Are we due for a Death Wish remake?
Well, I mean, they basically do it under different names, but
I have a very special set of Taken. They're making Taken into a TV show.
Yes,
that is too soon, and it's not enough of a concept to get a TV show.
I've seen the first two movies. I think there's three, right?
There's three. There's at least three.
Neeson plays a kick-ass psycho.
Let's say I like him, and I think that a lot of the work that he's done since his wife passed away has been to pass the time and just kind of stay busy, and I respect that. But they didn't need to make a TV show out of Taken.
No. You know what's a good movie is along those lines is John Wick. Did you see John Wick?
I haven't seen it. They're making the sequel.
It's out.
The sequel, just, it's just already out right now?
Just I gotta John watch Wick that. 2. It's fun. I mean, it's, you know, it's also kind of, it's along the same lines. It's like, you know, he's a retired hitman. Uh-huh. And they kill his...
You can tell. Yeah, I already know what happens.
He kills his dog. Because he's not married. I think he had a wife.
I love that dog.
Yeah, and then he just decides to kill everybody. It's a lot of. I remember like when it came out, and I was like, "Eh, this looks stupid." And then it was on. I remember reading like somebody saying that it was good, so it was on HBO, and I was like, "Oh,
I'll tell you, I'd go on a killing spree if somebody hurt my dog."
Right. it's a really fun movie, and then it's got Swearengen. He's in it.
He's always great.
He was awesome.
He's going to be in.
And the dude, Lance Reddick from The Wire is in it.
What was he in more recently than... Oh, he's not more recently. I've been watching Fringe.
Oh, yeah. I never saw that. I have to watch that.
It's a long ride. It's 120 episodes or something. I'm only about halfway through.
Freaking Arrow is like 5 seasons in now.
Right? Yeah. Well, Arrow... I created a drinking game out of Arrow. I'll have to think of some of the rules, because I was enjoying it. I binge watched the first 2 seasons on the stationary bike during one of the. I watched it during that really horrible winter we had where I couldn't get out running
2 years ago. Yeah,
and then it betrayed me. Arrow will betray you, but it's worth the journey to get
there.
You know what
I want to watch again is Lost.
Steph's never watched it, so she and I are going to sit down and watch it straight through because that's. I got to be emotionally prepared for that, though. Mm. Lost hit me in the feels, like, all the time.
I mean, that came out 10 years ago? Like, or 11 years ago?
It premiered about 10 years ago.
Yeah. Like, that first episode, man.
You know, actually, that's when you get right down to, I remember I watched that first episode, I didn't sit down, because I was at my folks' house. That actually, I told you about our Lost tradition, right?
Yeah.
Like, where we all, the whole family would get together.
Now it's Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, now it's not quite the same. But we, we're sitting there. I was over there for dinner, and I stood there watching the whole first episode, standing up. I was going to go home at 8 o'clock and watch.
Just grabbed you, I remember reading about it and saying, "Oh, this looks interesting."
Yeah,
and then just like, I mean, right from that fucking plane ripping in half, I was like, "Holy shit!"
Well, and it's funny because that was an original concept. It was peppered with Easter eggs all through the whole thing, but it was an original concept.
Yeah.
We don't reward original concepts, and you know, while we're staying on topic with what we're supposed to be talking about, we do reward original concepts, but they've got to really work hard to get there. Like looking at Mad Men or really any AMC show, you gotta fight to get people to pay attention to you if you are not a remake.
Yeah, Breaking Bad.
Even stuff like. A lot of the FX shows, like Sons of Anarchy, and granted it was Hamlet, but I mean Hamlet with bikers is a fairly original concept.
Yeah.
What are we watching these days? This Is Us.
My wife watches that.
Yeah, that's
every time I walk in, there's just some kind of like overwrought, you know, emotional scene. I'm just like, I can't fucking deal with this.
I'll tell you, I need my emotions. No, see, that's the thing. I need a Xanax when I watch that show. Like, that's not.
No, that's, she is weeping. Every time she watches it.
Well, everybody's telling me, watch it. And I watch it working out. And I'm like, this isn't good.
Counterproductive.
It's really counterproductive. It's not a good show to watch.
I don't want to lift weights now.
No, I mean, like, life sucks. It is the least... Like,
why did he do that to her?
You are listening to Completely Conspicuous with Jay Kumar.
That wraps up episode 456 of Completely Conspicuous. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you join me next time when Matt Fillion and I conclude our discussion about reboots. In the meantime, check out BFF.fm every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific, to hear my radio show, Stuck in the Garage. Check out Mixcloud.com/CoomDog to listen to archived shows. Jay Breitling produced the opening and closing themes of this show. Voiceover work is courtesy of James Grailian. Completely Conspicuous is a Tan God production.